Yo, what's up? It's your man's Joaquin. Make sure y'all like, comment, share, and subscribe to the podcast, because we got some dope interviews. So now let's get into the podcast. They listening to me. Yo, what's up? It's your man's Joaquin. You tuned in to another episode of Heat Level Podcast. What's up, world? Well, today, man, I got a guy that hails straight from Toronto, Canada. He goes by, Andrew Madia. Andrew Madia. I think I got it right. I don't know. But anyway, he is a working...
Awesome.
All right, cool. Appreciate that. He's a working actor that lives in Canada, no doubt. So I want to introduce y'all to Mr. Andrew. How you doing, Andrew?
I am doing awesome. It's great to be here. What?
Oh, this is good. How many podcasts have you been on, Mr. Andrew?
Just a few. I mean, I haven't done much really, but it's nice just to get out there and talk to people and just, you know, It's a great chance to meet people as well.
Oh, that's cool. Well, hey, let me ask you a question. So where are you from? What you do? Basically, if you want to give out your age, that's cool too. It's up to you. But what you do, man, where you from? Tell the people a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm originally from British Columbia. I was born and raised in BC, Vancouver, Victoria. Another mecca when it comes to film and TV these days. But I'm living in Toronto, and I came here so I could further pursue my acting career. But during that time, I've lived and traveled around the world. I'm Canadian, Swiss, and so over a 10-year period, I was living in London, Switzerland, and then 10 months in China. And then I came back to North America so I could get further on with my acting career.
So you're a traveler, man. You're a world traveler. Like you've been to Hong Kong too, right?
Yes, I've been to Hong Kong.
Oh yeah, well, you know, I see behind you, you got the Hong Kong Disneyland behind you. Have you been to the Disneyland in Hong Kong?
Yes, I was there twice in 1 year. When I was living in China, I went to Hong Kong the first time for vacation, and then second time I had to change over my visa, so I went down to Hong Kong to change over my visa to a business visa. So
now, now let me tell you something. I heard some things about China when it comes to black people. I don't know if you know how it is in China for black people, but I don't know if you know a guy by Dr. Umar Jackson, but if you ever listen to him, whatever, or if you know about how China is when it comes to black people. So I want to go to China. You know what I mean? I want to visit China. Yes, I do. And, you know, I would like them not treat me like America treats black men, but it is what it is. But I want to ask you a question. When you went to China, did you get any type of discrimination being in China, or was it just smooth sailing?
It was very interesting. Okay, the people are very friendly, especially towards English-speaking people. There is a huge demand when it comes to English teachers. It can be a culture shock for people. They're very heavily, like, Facebook for the most part is blocked in China, but you know, there's a thing called VPN that you can use to override the block.
I got VPN. I know. Yeah. IP managed. Right away. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, it's kind of like, I move through life almost seemingly like I'm naive, but the universe always protects me. Okay. I've had things happen in China that I would never have thought would happen. But I managed to move through it. But you know, the places I've taught were like the schools, like I taught at this high school. I mean, literally their high school is like the size of like a college campus. Honestly, it's like they have a building for the classes for one grade, a building for another grade, another building for another grade. They have a lunch building. They have the dormitories. They have their admin building, and it's heavily gated. But people are there. People there are very friendly. Although what they do say is they sell, there's a lot of fake stuff being sold.
Oh, wow. What you mean? It gets over here. What you talking about? Like, hey, made in China. Could be the real, could be the fake. Could be the knockoff. Y'all don't know if you remember that movie that Jean-Claude Van Damme was in. It was called Knockoff, and it was based in China. Yeah, he had the knockoff shoes. He was trying to run with them. Things popped off. You're like, what going on? Yeah, no doubt. And besides China, you know, so like you said, you know, I kind of know how it is when it comes to Black people in China. And, you know, even during a pandemic,
they wouldn't let a lot of
Africans in to be able to take the vaccine and stuff.
There have been, you know, there are like African-Americans or like Americans, like black, like
people. You can say black. I don't even like the word African-American, be honest with you. I'm black. Okay. I'm black in America. You need to call me black, you know, or call me African. You know what I mean?
But black people, because of whatever nationality, there are English teachers that have taught there, and they're treated really nicely. So a lot of times when you hear hearsay, it's a lot of fear talk. And it's like, you know, you won't know until you get there. And if you put in your head, because one of the things I'm into is in personal development.
Okay.
And I started to get into it back in 2004. But, you know, it's like, you know, a lot of the stuff in personal development is stuff that we do every day in our lives. It's nothing new. It's just something that's brought to the forefront to bring to our attention. But one of the things is if you put your focus onto something negative, then the negative will come back to you. It's like a mirror. It's going to be mirroring what you feel. So if you think,
okay, you know what? I agree with you on that. To a certain stick too sometimes. Okay. Yes, I'm that type of person. Put out positive energy come your way. You know, you have your exception sometimes, but at the end of the day, you don't know the type of skeletons that people have in their closet. Now, give you a little bit about me. I done did 7 years in prison. You know, I've been shot. I was a gang affiliated. Actually, I just got out of prison 3 years ago, so I ain't been out that long. I was in the streets. I've been profiled, beat up by cops. I grew up in the streets, man. And being a Black man in America, I've experienced it, right? So I know how I'm treated. My kids are biracial, and the way that is looked upon with some of the, you know, women that I have kids with, their family don't accept that my kids are half Black. So that goes on in America all the time. I don't know how Canada works when it goes to when it comes to racism and stuff, but I live in the South. Okay. So I live in Tennessee, which is the South. Actually, yes. So I actually live 2.5 hours from Knoxville and 1 hour 45 minutes from Pulaski, Tennessee, where the KKK started. So you got to understand that it's different when you come to the South. Now, things are changing, but we still got situations like George Floyd. We still got situations like Aubrey. You know, we still got Breonna Taylor situations. We still got
there's still a lot of work to be done.
Oh, yeah, because just remember something. And I always tell people this.
Yeah, well,
segregation in America was not that long ago. Okay, you got to remember, it was not that long ago. My grandmama's 81 and she lived through all that. So people like, oh, it'll be fixed in 10 years. No, you're talking about over 400 years of slavery, another 200 years of segregation. It's not going to be fixed in 50 years. You know what I mean? It's just, that's just impossible to try to undo all that in a short period of time when it was so long. So, but me as a Black man in America, which, you know, labeling Black men in America public enemy number one, as they talk about all the time on the news and stuff. When you watch our news, you know, excuse me, if you watch our local news and stuff, you always see a Black man that done killed somebody, a Black man that done robbed somebody. When you look at our media in America, Black and brown is attacked more than any other race in America. And even our prison systems, I don't know if you know this because you're in Canada, but we have, what, 2.5 million people in our prison system, and majority of them are Black men. We outdo every other race in our prison system in our country, all right? Mass incarceration of Black men taken out of the homes. I know you're from Canada, but if you read upon that, when all that started happening in the late 70s, early 80s, when Ronald Reagan changed the laws to crack, where the time was more for crack than it was for cocaine, how the crack epidemic affected more Black and brown people, but they didn't have 1,000 clinics or all this to help people. But now that is a pill epidemic, which affects, it is what it is. It affects the Caucasian community more than it affects the Black and brown community. Now we have so many clinics. And my dad, excuse me, who was a crack addict, and he talked about that. We actually had a discussion about it on this podcast not too long ago. And he talked about how it wasn't no help for them, but, you know, why they didn't get the same treatment as what the most of the Caucasians in America are getting. And I always remember something. You from Canada, and I want to ask you, how is Canada when it comes to race? Because I can listen to a Drake song, who's from Canada, or The Weeknd, or Party Next Door, or Justin Bieber, or, you know, a lot of Canadian actors and stuff, you know, they actually have they take when it comes to race also. Now, I can listen to the cats from Canada that are from where I'm from in America and be like, oh, okay, y'all experiencing the same thing. Okay, so what is your take on that? How is Canada when it comes to racism in Canada?
Well, you know, there is racism everywhere. Okay, it's not, but I mean, we probably have it. I have to be honest with you, I'm not too familiar, because for me, I like to treat everyone the same with respect.
As I do too.
Because it's not, you know, I don't care about the color of your skin, just as how, it's a matter of how you treat me. We need to treat each other with respect. And I actually have, like, I am sort of, I have a small, like, I have relatives in the States. My dad was born American. He's and from Missouri, okay. St. Louis, Missouri.
Not
so
too
I'm familiar
far from
with the Bible Belt. I'm just, yeah, hey. I'm just like, it's like,
oh, yeah.
They're right near the epicenter of where one of, like, the recent Black issues that happened, the event in Ferguson, with.
And oh, Michael Brown.
You know, I am so appalled at what goes on in the States. I mean, my dad, he was not happy with the way the United States works politically. He ended up deciding to get rid of his American citizenship and stick to being just Canadian Swiss.
Oh, all right. Hey, you know that's how he felt. It's what he wanted to do. And, yeah. You know, I applaud him for that, you know what I'm saying? Right. Because he seen something that he didn't want to be associated with and part of in his own right of how he wanted to do that. So he said, you know what? I'm good. Hey,
Yeah.
I applaud for it.
Originally, he left because of the Vietnam War. He didn't want to go to the Vietnam War and be a part of that. And so for almost like a decade, he was considered a wanted man because he deserted his country for not wanting to go fight in the Vietnam War. Let me tell you some shit.
I wouldn't fucking want to fight in that shit either. Hey, look, I could have went to the army. Man, I was like, look, I'm from the fucking hood. I done been in the army, shit. You know what I mean? When it comes to that and what they were fighting for, what, you know, a lot of people I know that went to the army, they say, I thought it was something different. They didn't know what it was, because of course the commercials gonna give you like, oh, we'll pay for this, and you get part of a team, and it's Uncle Sam, and we, you know, of course, you know, but you know, everybody know what's really, 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 really going on. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that, you know, that's just that thing. The media, they portray things in such a way, they spin the story. We don't know the whole truth as to what's going on when we're told the news. And going back to the question, in Vancouver, there's an Asian actor who I used to be friends with. And apparently, like, there's discrimination when it comes to the Asian population, especially with this pandemic, how there's like supposed, you know, blame on like China for supposedly bringing this coronavirus.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know, to be honest with you, when it comes to that, I don't, you know, it's there. I don't like to play the name game blame, because, you know, we're only going by things that we hear, not by we don't know what the actual facts are, really.
Will we really ever know?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, for instance, like, who, like, was Marilyn Monroe murdered? type thing. It's like,
yeah, Anna Nicole Smith really commit suicide? Like, you know,
yeah,
it's like one of them things.
I just think, you know, I think that it's interesting how far the Black community has come with regards to their freedom, and it's really great that things are progressing slowly. I wish they could be a little bit better. I would like to see, for me, I'd like to see everyone get along, and you know what, and we respect each other, but but that's a perfect world, but there's no such thing as a perfect world.
No, it's not. We need that
yin yang.
They say, man, good. We got to have that balance, man. That good and bad balance, man. It is what it is. So look, check this out. I want to get into your acting, a little bit of your acting. Since we just had a little conversation about some things, let's get into your acting, man. So how many films have you acted on?
I've done a few independent films. I've done a commercial. My most recent project was I wrote, produced, and performed my own one-man show at the Orlando International Fringe Festival back in 2017. But I've mostly been, you know, doing background work while I've been working on my own self. I mean, but now I'm just, you know, focusing on, you know, front and center projects and creating my own work, really, because that's all it's about, really. And meeting people. People like you. I didn't realize that you were, you know, bad on my part. I didn't realize that you were a filmmaker yourself. I mean, you have a wonderful story yourself. Oh, yeah. I mean, I just think, you know, when you look at, you know, how you, like, just from what you said at the beginning to me, a little background of your thing, I'm like, wow, that is like an amazing story. I mean, I could see that being told in a story, like, you know, it's just, you know, it's inspiring to hear people that have taken a negative situation and move, and you're not treating yourself like, I don't know if you feel like you're a victim, but you don't have the, it's like, you know what, this is what happened. And this is where I'm at. I'm in a better place. And that's where I'm going to focus on. And like, for me, I've been doing it like as long as I can remember, I've always loved to perform and entertain for people. I started out like when I was 4 years old, I took a kiddie ballet dance class. So I learned a little bit I got into like dancing and I would sing. I mean, my grandfather was my biggest inspiration. So, I mean, whether it's community theater or doing something really big, like because Canada, we're associated with the Commonwealth countries of England.
Yeah.
In 94, I'm a child of the 70s. Okay. I just had my birthday last week, actually. So.
Okay. Have you been to America before? Of course, right?
Lots of times.
All right, now let me ask you something. So being from Canada, which you have a lot of Canadian acts, if I'm mistaken, ain't Ryan Reynolds Canadian?
Yeah, he's from Vancouver.
Okay. I love Ryan Reynolds. I think he's an amazing actor.
I actually know the high school he went to because—
Oh, really?
I have like, you know how they say 3 degrees or 6 degrees of separation?
Separation, yeah.
I recently was in contact with my childhood best friend from Catholic school when I went to Catholic school for a couple of years, and he went to the same high school as Ryan Reynolds, and so he actually talked like whenever he saw him, like even as an adult, he would just say hi to him. It was like, so they were in the same high school together, so it was like,
oh, that's what, hey, you know what, man? That's what's up, man. I like, you know, now I know how you had said at the beginning, like, oh, man, I didn't know you was a filmmaker. Okay, check this out. Now, I'm a hip-hop artist, by the way, too. I sent you my link to Joaquin TV. I just released a new video, and I just released a new album, too, 2 weeks ago, which you can get it on wherever you get your music at. And this film, which the poster right here, of course I had to, you know, you know, put the poster. I'm like, you know what? You know, I'm gonna probably bring it down a little bit. So every time I do my podcast, people can look back. And if you see the guy that's bending down right there, that's actually me. So it's crazy. But I wrote, this is my first short film that I did. I wrote it, I produced it, I directed, I did the screenplay, I edited it, I synced the audio, I took the pictures for the poster. I did all that, right? I even cut the trailer too, which I sent it to you after the podcast. I even cut the trailer. My music videos, I actually do all that too. I edit all my own music videos. I edit all my own podcasts. I do most of the graphic for everything I do. And you see my beautiful studio. I actually built this with my own hands, which is the booth here. And then if you see on this side where you see the TV and stuff, that's actually the podcast table when I bring people to the studio. So that's the podcast over here. You go to the musical booth here. And, you know, I mix mastered all my own songs.
You got it made. You're creating like anything. Better watch out, world. You're gonna start to become... It you know what it's on Facebook there's a group called Talent Manager for Actors, and you know and I can I actually, you know, I was so like early in my earlier days, I was so in my head as an actor that it wasn't like I kid you not, my acting was like really like it was really bad.
You can't start. You can't be a Cameron Diaz sometimes. You can't just go to your first ever audition, knock it out of the park. Well, I don't know if it was the first one, but The Mask. I don't know if anybody know this, but you can't be a Cameron Diaz. You know, she came in there, no acting experience, nothing, went in there, knocked it out the park, and look, she became a big actor. So,
you know what?
You know.
You know, I keep, I mean, the people that have, like, that are up there in status, it took them a while to get there. they went on a journey. And so each one of us are on a journey when it comes to our acting careers. And this is something for the audience. If you're aspiring to be an actor or filmmaker, you know, just start and just keep your eyes on where it is you want to go and yeah. just be persistent, especially when it comes to the industry that we're in an art creative industry. You know, we get the most flack when it comes to our industry with regards to when it comes to choosing it as a career. Because, like, you know, my mother, she was like, oh, why don't you just go to business school? So you have a backup. And it's like,
man, fuck a backup. You hear what I'm saying?
It's a do or be and all type thing. And, you know, ever since I read this book by Kay Callan, How to Sell Yourself as an Actor, almost 20 years ago now, I've been more living my life and letting the acting follow. Because, you know, it's important that we live our life and we do things and we just, you know, things will happen when they happen. I mean, I never in a million years would think that I would live in London, England for 7 years. I never thought I would live in China for 10 months. Like if you'd asked me 10 years ago, are you planning to move to China? I would say, no, it's not in the cards. I mean, I wanted to go visit. I had it on my vision board, go to the Great Wall of China, go see the Forbidden Palace, even on my vision to visit Hong Kong Disneyland. And when we have our dreams, we don't know when they're going to happen. Honestly, it's like things can happen just like that, or things can happen in a progression. And so for me, it was like I was living in Vancouver when I came to terms with my own sexuality. In 2004, I just was like, you know, things were just feeling like overwhelming. And then I finally came to terms with being gay. It was, you know, partly because I was raised Roman Catholic. And then from there, I knew, like, when I was pursuing my film career, I knew that Vancouver wasn't the right energy. And so I decided to go to London, and I had the most, like, in London, I did an West End comedy farce.
I want to ask something. Now, this is very interesting, right? Now, before, you know, you said that you came out with your sexuality and stuff like that. And honestly, now, I was going to be like, okay, I wanted to ask you, but I wanted you to bring it up yourself. Because first and foremost, it's your sexuality, right? This is my thing, right? This is what I say. And I want to know if you agree with me or if you don't agree with me, right? In my book, I don't care what anybody does in their bedroom, okay? That is you, not me, okay? My thing is this. I don't know if you heard about what happened with the baby, the rapper, what he did at the Rolling Loud Festival. The baby. He had said some stuff at the Rolling Loud Festival that offended.
Oh, no, I LGBT. Didn't hear it.
Okay.
There's a time and place for something.
Okay, he got pulled off 4 festivals because of what he said. Now, somebody said, okay, I understand that. We need to teach him that he, you know, keep his mouth closed. But this is what somebody said. They said, but they ain't going to kick you off for promoting violence, drugs, you know, guns, killing people. Like, you won't get pulled off a festival for that, right? If you said stuff like, put your guns in there, they won't pull you off a festival. But since he said something about he didn't really say anything. It just, like, he was saying something and it offended a lot of people from the LGBT community, right? And this is my take on it, right? Do I have to agree with you to respect who you are, right? That's the thing. Do I have to agree with you, right? I don't have to agree with the decision that you make in your life, but it is your life, right? So whatever decision you make is your life. But do I still respect you? I have to still respect you because guess what? You might not like how I live. Let's just take this, and look, and then, and I want to tell people this right now, right? People always ask me, I'm not homophobic. I'm not none of that stuff. Not even close to it, right? But if somebody come to me and say, do you agree with homosexuality, right? And I say, no, I don't agree with it, but it has nothing to do with me, right? So I'm not going to bash anybody who is not heterosexual. I'm not gonna speak on all that because that's not my business. You understand what I'm saying? Like, it's not my business. For example, is it your business who I sleep with in my bed? Is it your business? Like, it's none of your business, right? So
no,
that's
no, it's not.
And that's my thing. So now you said that you came out and you know that you were treated different and stuff like that. Okay, I understand what you're saying, right? Now let me tell you this. Go ahead.
To be honest, it wasn't that I wasn't treated differently, because to me, I just, you know, I was the same. I have relatives, like one relative particularly who's totally chicken, you know, chicken. There's that expression with the chicken, chicken feeding. Like they pick certain things from the Bible, but they don't look at everything. They just pick it at the things that suit them. And the rest, they know.
That's people. they nitpick.
And thing is, that's the problem with a lot of people, especially when it comes in the States, you know, but it's everywhere, okay? I don't want to just focus on America because, you know, it's everywhere, okay? There's a problem everywhere. And even when it comes to, you know, the pandemic, when it comes to wearing a mask or not wearing a mask, taking the vaccine or not taking the vaccine, okay? One of the things is it's about respect. And you're right. We, like, people have their opinions, and sometimes it might be different. But people need to respect that. It's their opinion, okay? It's important that one lives their life and does what is right for them without interfering in someone else's, because when you start to interfere in someone else's life, starting to dictate, like homosexuality, it's not right. You shouldn't sleep together. I mean, you know, it's for sin. I mean, you're not, you know, you shouldn't be having kids and you shouldn't be doing this. That is not right, because you're infringing on someone else's right. It's not harming you because you're not living with them. You might associate with them, but you're not living with them. It's not showing respect. It's not showing unconditional love. It's not, it's a matter of.
So basically, so you agree with kind of far as saying this. You do not have to agree with my lifestyle. I do not have to agree with your lifestyle, but I got to respect you as a person. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how my way of living is or how your way of living is. And period, it doesn't really matter, whatever. The thing is this. I have to respect you as a person. So I'm going to respect you as a person. Guess what? I ain't got to hang out with you. You ain't got to hang out with me. You know what I'm saying? We ain't got to go to the same places. We ain't got to do. But at the end of the day, when everything's said and done, and, you know, even me, you know, being what I am when it comes to religion, right? You know, Islam. But anyway, even when it comes to that, right? You know, some people are like, well, look, this. Yeah, I understand it. But let me ask you this question right here. Is respect is respect. I live your life. I live mine. Respect me. I respect you. That's all that matters. I don't give a damn if you, a lot of people don't agree with me and I don't give a fuck. All right. So it doesn't matter. Live your life and I live my life. Now, since we got all that out the way, which is good. All right. Now I want to ask you a question. Who are, since you do acting, who are your top four actors? Now, this is Heat Level Podcast. We don't do top five. We only do top four. So who's your top four actors? And I'm going to say of all time.
Okay, well, four. My let me get growing up, I still am. I'm a huge Julie Andrews fan.
Okay, Julie Andrews, that's your number one?
Yeah, Julie Andrews, because of Mary Poppins.
Okay, so Julie Andrews.
Mary Poppins.
Number two.
I think Robin Williams, I'd have to say, is another one.
Okay, Robin Williams, rest in peace, Mr. Robin Williams. Yeah, and who was your number three?
He was a very, comedy is just something, comedy seems to be my forte, and I just I do things and people laugh.
So who's your number three?
So two more. There's a lot of wonderful people.
Come on, you got to give them to me. Number three.
Yeah, I said two. Now I have two more. I had the pleasure and the honor to be on set with Judi Dench.
Okay, Judi Dench, you said?
Yes.
Okay, that's your number three. Who's your number four? Let's get it.
Let me think. There was there's so many people. Oh my God, who's the favorite one right now? I'm trying to think of a current one. Okay. I have to think about the fourth one. Can we hold off on the fourth?
I got to get it. Number four.
Got to get it.
Just get somebody. Just give somebody number four. It's okay. The last person on the total boat.
Okay. Well, I liked Ewan McGregor is another wonderful actor.
Okay. All right. Well, there go your top four right there. That's what's up. I like that. Your top four, that works for me. I know two of them. I don't know the other two. So that works for me.
Who don't you know?
I don't know the last two you said. I know the Mary Poppins lady. And
Ewan McGregor. Have you seen Star Wars?
Oh, yes, I've seen Star Wars.
Because he's the one that played Obi-Wan in the... Phantom Menace or
the one from the 70s?
No.
Or the one that had Samuel Jackson. Okay, the one that had the black guy. What's his name?
There was Natalie Portman was in the movie.
I can't think of that black guy that's actually in that Star Wars.
Pardon?
It's a black guy that's in one of the episodes of Star Wars.
Yeah, that was the Phantom Menace. He played Jar Jar Binks.
Okay. Also, you must be into Star Wars.
I love Star Wars.
Do you watch Clint Eastwood movies?
The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly is the one that comes to mind with Clint Eastwood.
Okay, what about Denzel? You like Denzel?
Yeah, I mean, I actually was on set with Clint Eastwood.
Oh, okay, cool. So guess what? That's set up for our first segment of this podcast, which is called Under the Bus. All right. So basically, what I do is I give you two people and you tell me which one you want to throw under the bus. All right. So since you are an actor and you like filmmakers, I'm going to put two filmmakers for you, not actors. I'm going to give you two filmmakers and you tell me which one you're going to throw up under the bus. Now, since you say you're a Star Wars fan, Lucas. All right, George Lucas, I think that's, what's his name? George Lucas, right?
Yeah, George Lucas.
George Lucas, okay. George Lucas is your one, number one, and your number two is going to be Steven Spielberg. So, you already know. So, you have George Lucas and you have Steven Spielberg. Which one of these filmmakers you are throwing up under the bus? Let's do it.
I'm going to say Steven Spielberg.
Oh, so you're going to throw Steven Spielberg under the bus? Ain't that something? So, Lucas, George Lucas, you have been selected by Mr. Andrew and Steven Spielberg. Sorry, my man, but you have been thrown under the bus by Mr. Andrew Mandia. There you go. Mandia, there you go. All right, cool. Cool, that's what's up. So, hey, it is what it is. One person got to go. One person got to be the one that you select. You select Mr. George Lucas and Steven Spielberg. Like you, good movies, but you are thrown under the bus. And that brings us to our last segment of this show, and it is called Brutally Honest. Basically, I will ask you a question, and you got to be brutally honest about it. If you are not honest about it, I will roast you, okay? You will get roasted if I don't believe you, all right? So this is the Brutally Honest question. Everybody get ready. Everybody is listening. Thank you, thank you. Let's do it, and this is the Brutally Honest question. The question is, have you ever wanted to hit your boss in the face just because he's your boss?
Yes, I'm going to say yes. I have. I mean, who went? I mean, I've had bosses that have just been really bad. And so
you just like, I want to hit you in your face because you just, oh, I hate that you, my boss. You know what I'm saying? You know what? Hey, and I believe it, because guess what? I've always wanted to hit my boss in the face. Every boss I ever had, I'm like, man, I just want to, ooh. Especially when they tell you to do something. And what's the thing is, you know you got to do it, but it's the point that they telling you to do it. You know, it's like, I hate that you are my boss.
That's why for some people, it's better to work for yourself and be an entrepreneur, because you can have control of everything. Mind you, as actors, we are entrepreneurs, so...
Yeah, that's true. And best thing to do is being an entrepreneur, man, you got to make it work. You got to make it work. You got to make it work. You know what I'm saying? And that's the good thing about it. So, Mr. Andrew, can you let everybody know where they can find you, your Instagram, Facebook, or any websites that you got so people can connect with you?
Okay. Right now, it's only social media. While I work on revamping my website, on social media, it's at Andrew Mandia, M-O-N-D-I-A is how you spell Mandia.
Yeah,
And it's no dots, just one word, Andrew Mandia. And so I'm on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, you name it. I just, you know, I may not be that active on social media, but I'm trying to get more active and more engaging, so.
Oh, that's what's up. That's what. Hey, man, it was real nice having you on the show. Now, y'all already know what it is with me, man. If y'all want to listen to my music, y'all can go to whatever platform y'all listen to music. It's Y-Keem. It's W-Y-Q-E-E-M. That's W-Y-Q, Eric, Mimi, Mama, Moo Moo. And if y'all want to go watch the videos, it's Y-Keem TV. It's W-Y-Q-E-E-M. TV. That's WYQ. Eric, Mimi, Mama, Momo TV. Y'all already know. And if y'all want to listen to this podcast, y'all already know, heatlevelpodcast.com, or you can get it on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Google Play. Hey, I'm everywhere. And y'all can just listen to this, or you can watch the visual on Heat Level Podcast on YouTube. Make sure y'all like, comment, share, and subscribe. I really will appreciate it, because I want to grow my YouTube channel also. And everybody, if you're not listening, listen now, man. The movie Damn Justin Again, which is my first short film, will be on your Amazon Prime, your Tubi TVs, September the 30th. Make sure you mark your calendars so you can do it. It's going to be about 99 cents to watch it. If you got to get it on Amazon, it's just a dollar. Can a brother get a dollar? I just want a dollar. That's all. So I appreciate y'all, man, listening to me and rocking with me. I really appreciate it. Andrew, man, I'm glad you coming on. You're first person I ever had from Toronto, Canada. And I think it was a dope interview. And actually, I'm glad that you was you opened up about dealing with the stuff that you've been dealing that you're dealing with as coming out and all that. I really appreciate that. Maybe the listeners can get a little education about how you feel on that end. I really appreciate it. And I hope that you appreciate coming on the show. If you got any last words to say, say it to the people. Give them some inspiration.
Well, my biggest, my one little expression that I like to say is different is fun. Thank you for having me, and I had such a blast coming on.
That's what's up. And everybody, like, comment, share, and subscribe, because if you don't, I will be there to see y'all. That's what's up. Now, y'all know how I always say, I'm about this beat.
Every time they in, they ride. Every time they hear this beat. Every time they in the spot. Every time I'm on they street. They listening, they listening, they listening to me. They listening, they listening, they listening to me. Every time.